Knicks family, welcome back to the Garden Knicks podcast. I'm your host, Apollo Reed. I'm here with my boy, Regular Joe. How you feeling, man?
Feel good. Feel good, man. Good to come out and get a win.
Of course. So we went to the Garden and took care of business, took care of home, which is the most important thing. And we beat the Rockets 137-115. Before I even get started, shout out to the chat. Shout out to everybody that's here. If you're here, hit a like, subscribe, ring the bell so you're notified when we go live. But I would say it's a great second half. First half was a little dicey there. As Joe was sitting us in the chat, like, yeah, they asking for it in this one. So I didn't.
They're begging for it.
Yeah, these are one of those teams that where if you give them too much confidence early, it's like they're hard to get rid of later. So you gotta drop them as soon as you can, which is not what we necessarily did. We were up, but we kept letting them close the gap and tie the game. And that was just frustrating because I know we could be more of what we are or were in the second half. You know what I mean? That was the thing that bothered me about it. But, you know, they weren't playing bad. I think it was more of the same. The first half was more of the same Knicks from the past few games. A lot of offense, not that much defense. And that's probably basically what we saw. And if it continued like that, I don't know the kind of conversation we would be having right now. So I'm glad that they stepped it up. But, I mean, let's just get it started, man. Manuel, quickly, like, what can't you say about this guy? Tonight he shows up 14 of 18 from the field.
Ridiculous.
The dude shot 7 threes and was 14 of 18 from the field. He only missed 4 shots, 77%. 7 of 9 from the free throw line. 9 assists, 40 points, 1 turnover. What talk to me, Joe. How you feeling about Manuel quickly tonight, bro?
I've said it on this show in the past, like, he's been my favorite thing about this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I'm glad, Jose Garcia, I'm glad you're in here early. I think Jose asked me last week if I thought quickly was or could be a starting point guard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what more do you need to see? You know what I mean? Like, I was actually surprised that you asked the question. I don't know if you asked it just for the sake of conversation or if you just weren't sure, mm-hmm. but like, he's everything that you would want in a starting point guard.
Without a doubt. Like, yeah.
He gets in the paint. He can shoot it. Defensively, he's really good, especially off the ball, yeah. But no slouch on the ball either. He gets to the line. Like, and he doesn't, and more, most importantly, he doesn't turn it over.
Right, true. That's true. Like, that's the best thing. Like I said, 9 assists and 1 turnover tonight.
Yeah, he's 100% a starting point guard in this league. If another team would be so lucky to pry him away from New York,
uh-huh.
But I don't think that's happening. I think he's going to be a Knick for a while.
I mean,
but we've seen him do it against good teams, Jose. Like, come on, man. This kid's been doing this all year. Like,
well, what'd he say? My bad. IQ needs to do that versus a good team. He shot much better. Do you remember the last big game he had? That was against the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, like, come on, man.
Come on, Jose. You got to cut him some slack. Like, let's be real. Like, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. He said, IQ seems like a loyal guy. Yeah, I don't think he's eager to leave. I don't think he's eager to leave. But I'm not concerned necessarily about him being here because I think that no matter what I just think that he embraces his role here no matter what. I think he will embrace whatever his role is while he's here. These guys have him like that. I think it's kind of like a Jordan Poole situation. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Jordan Poole does he start for the Warriors yet? No, right?
When they're healthy, I don't think so, no.
Yeah, when they're healthy, he's not starting, clearly. So, I mean, you know, I think it's a similar situation where you kind of have a guy who can be a starter, which I don't think hurts. You know what I mean? If you can damn near drop 20 points a game, and you're finishing a lot of these games on top of that.
Like, I guess what bothers me is, like, this kid is going to be in the running for sixth man of the year.
Absolutely.
And we're questioning what he could do against good teams. Like, right. You don't get in the running for sixth man of the year
right.
without doing this shit all year.
All year.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, against whoever.
Right.
Like,
that shit all year long.
He's really good, yo. That's all I'm saying, man. Like, and I think that it's time that we – I think it's time we stop questioning that.
I mean, do you really expect that from Knicks fans, though, to not question?
I mean, I would think that they had enough evidence, especially this year. Like, this is the year he's taking the leap. I mean, what more do you need to see?
I mean,
like, you knew it was
– right.
Like, you knew it was in there,
mm-hmm.
right? But, like, this is the year where it's, like, everything's come together. Like, the offense, the defense, much better efficiency.
Facts.
Like, getting into the paint, which was a knock. Remember, I used to knock him all the time. Like, man, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
that
this guy can't beat his man. And it's just like, well, so much for that.
Mm-hmm.
And now the mid-range game, like, it is
coming together.
Everything's coming together. Like, yeah, it's, yeah. I feel like we haven't got a chance to watch as Knicks fans,
mm-hmm.
a guy who we drafted, like, make like a metamorphosis over, like, you know, the course of like their rookie contract, like right. we have with Quickley.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the thing about Quickley with me is, I've always known that he had the talent. I just wanted to see the consistency. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
this season, he's been showing me that. Like, don't get me wrong, it's hard to shoot fucking 40% from the 3-point line all year long. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people really expect him to do that. And the moment he's like 39, like, he's missing shots. 38. Like, I don't like how it looks. It's like, come on.
Like Quentin Grimes.
Right.
Quentin Grimes shooting 37% from the field this year. And Knicks fans are like, oh, he doesn't make shots. And it's just like, what does he have to shoot? 45%? Like, what do you guys want?
That's what they want. They want 45%, bro. You know this. You know this. We have the most overreacting fan, but we talked about this, the Richard Jefferson effect. We have the most overreacting fans of any fan base, and almost throughout sports, but I'm going to just leave it at in the NBA for now. So to me personally, you just gotta really just roll with the punches. I mean, anyway, I think Emmanuel Quickley is who he should be. And at the time that he is, like right now, Emmanuel Quickley is exactly what we need him to be at the time we need him to be that person. Jalen Brunson has been missing a lot of games as of recent, for multiple reasons, you know, foot, wrist, his right wrist. I don't know what the hell is up with that, but hopefully he's good. But when he's out, Quickley steps up. You know what I mean? It's not perfect. Don't get me wrong. There's some games. Obviously, the past few games, we can point out a whole lot of bad from the Knicks. But I'm not going to blame Quickley for any of that. I think Quickley has done his job as well as he could for these past couple games. So, shout out to Quickley. This is the Emmanuel Quickley game. The game ball goes to Emmanuel Quickley.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, you got to give it to him. You got to give it to him. Jose says, IQ is young, still learning. When he shoots threes, he's crazy. Man, when he's knocking those threes down, you see what it looks like tonight. It just changes the whole energy of the game. And that's kind of what you want. Is IQ ceiling higher than Brunson's? I'm going to say no for the efficiency reasons. And that's pretty much it. I think, personally, I think that Brunson's bag is just way deeper, and he does it at a higher clip, more consistently.
Like, the thing about Jalen is, like, Jalen's been this efficient since he got in the league.
Got in the league, yeah.
Like, this is not, like, his efficiency this year is not like, oh my God, he's taking it to another level. Like, right. He came into this season shooting 50% for his career. So this is who he is. Yeah, this it really is. What we're seeing this year is who he is, which is why, I mean, it's no secret. I've been screaming, let's get Jalen Brunson for 2 years now.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while. I'm not going to lie. Every single time, you're like, yeah, this guy, Brunson, man. I'm like, bro, we're not going to get him. You know me. I'm the most, like, kill your dreams Knicks fan there is.
I mean, we never get what we want, though. So that,
that's why. That's why. I think it was just more, like, trauma. You know what I mean? It's PTSD when it comes to being a Knicks fan. And I really think that's really what it was. I just could not see us actually getting something good and someone letting it happen. You know what I'm saying? IP Star, what up, Wave? He says, nah, son, really balling. And Julius needs to chill talking to Quick Brazy. Yo, you know, and of course, for the whole weekend, that was the talk of the town. You know what I'm saying? Like, as you knew was going to happen. Friday.
Jose Gar-
what happened?
Nah, go ahead.
But yeah, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's all everyone wanted to talk about was Julius Randle and his overreaction to Emmanuel Quickley trying to help him out. Which, I mean, it's going to be those conversations. It happens. There was a clip over the weekend that surfaced of Patrick Ewing. John Starks was trying to stop him, and he told him, you know, he pushed him off and was like, stop, and put the finger in his face. It was like, stop. Now, it was a little bit different than Julius Randle. I think the manner of which it happened was a little bit different. I think he was pushing him, and he literally said, stop. Like, he turned around and looked at him and said, stop. Like, he put his finger in his face like it was his dad or some shit. But this was a little bit different in a way because, you know, Julius literally got in his face and was like, yo.
And it was also different because, like, Julius, this is not the first time.
He's done
like,
it.
We've seen it last year with Fournier.
Fournier, right.
So it's just like, okay, like, this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I don't get it twisted. I mean, I can't remember. But I'm pretty sure that wasn't the first time that Pat got into it with a teammate. Like, right. These things do happen, bro.
Yeah.
But my problem with Julius is not the fact that he got into Quickley's face. It's the
consistency of these.
It's just always something, man.
Always like, something.
He just got to play ball. That's the thing with me, bro. Mm-hmm. And that's all I care about, really. Like, I mean, him getting into Quickley's face, that was just
that's basketball.
Something. Yeah, that was just something else that happened on top of, like, him behaving like a child.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what he does best sometimes. Like, let's be honest. That's what he does best sometimes. Shout out to my man Izzy. Peace and abundance to you, brother. Peace and abundance. Jose said, I was setting you guys up for that ceiling question, Joe.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Jose playing the long game with his questions.
He said Randall's reaction is normal. I've seen better confrontation on the A train. Listen,
facts.
We're from New York, so I mean, we're clearly not strangers of this kind of activity. I think the issue is when it's your teammate. You know what I'm saying? I think honestly, I don't even think it was that. I think it was just a repeat. Like, if this is the first time Julius, like, if Hartenstein was like getting mad and the guys tried to get him away from the refs and then he did that, it would be a little different because it was like, this is his first time doing that. You know what I mean? Like, it was, that's kind of like how I'm looking at it.
And lately he's been talking to the refs too much lately.
Yeah, that too. Just too
and
much.
And that's really, I think that's ultimately what it comes down to is like the last few weeks has been way too much focus on the refs, which was something that he had kind of gotten out of. For the most part, you know what I mean? And then it's like, man, this guy is kind of regressing and it's just at the wrong time. Like, the playoffs are coming.
We don't need that kind of shit, yeah.
And, you know, we're still playing for something. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. We haven't done anything yet. Like, it's still 6 games left after this. Like, we still got work to do. You know, Miami is right behind us. Brooklyn's not going away like we hoped they would. So, we still got a lot of work to do. It's still a lot of work that needs to be done. And I just think for Knicks fans, it's just something that right now we don't really want it, but it happened. I'm pretty sure that they already kissed and made up. So
I think. Yeah, I mean, they were sitting on the bench next to each other today. So, I mean, that's kind of, you know what I mean? They dealt with it at halftime when it happened. I'm sure they dealt with it at halftime. But, you know, it's an unacceptable action. Whether Pat did it, whether Julius did it, it could have been Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Like, people talk all the time about how Jordan was a terrible teammate. He punched Steve Kerr. Okay, well, they won 6 rings. Got him somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Do me a favor and tell me what this helped us win. You know what I'm saying? And that's why it's a little bit different.
Kerr wouldn't trade those rings for that punch.
He would not. He would not.
He'd take that punch again tomorrow.
Word. He would like, yo, you got another one of those? I'll take 6 more rings if you got. But Izzy says, did y'all hear what RJ said about? I think I did. He said something about like that's, these are guys, this happens all the time. Guys get, you know, they lose their cool. This kind of thing happens. You know what I'm saying? And this is basketball. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what someone was saying to me on Twitter about it. Like, oh, if you never played competitive sports, because it's, I'm like, whether I've played competitive sports or not, this can't happen, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? It can't happen. Now, does it happen? Absolutely. You can point mad times where it's happened. Like, yeah, sure. Tell me all about
it. Doesn't make it okay.
Doesn't make it okay, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that was my only point. This is not okay, and this is not the first time it's happened. That's it. That's all, and that was my only point. So, he said Randall don't respect him. That's my opinion. He doesn't. I mean, sometimes not that he doesn't respect them. He's like, this is my team. Like, that's it. This is my team. And if I'm asking for the ball, give me the ball, because this is my squad. You know what I mean? While Jalen's not here, especially. Let's see. Love the defensive intensity tonight. In the second half, absolutely. In the second half. That first half, it was just floodgates was open for both teams. You know what I mean?
I don't even think the Knicks were that great defensively in the second half. I just think that they just
missed a lot.
Missed in the second half.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Knicks just made every shot. So,
well, that's the thing.
The Rockets are a horrible defensive team.
Not only are they a horrible defensive team, they have like 2 or 3 knockdown shooters. And like even at their best, they're not guys that are gonna like shoot lights out while people are defending them. You know what I'm saying? So they don't necessarily have the best scoring team. In that case, Izzy says, "Where's D Rose?" D Rose was actually
he was hurt today. He was not hurt, but he was sick.
He was sick. He was out. Him and Brunson were out tonight. Those were the only 2 guys on the injury reserve list. The teacher made IQ and Randall sit together. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, but that's what you're supposed to do as a coach. You know what I mean? Like, even if that is true, like, good credit to Tibbs. Like, at least he's doing some kind of like management with Julius in a way. You know what I'm saying? Because that was always our question with it. It was like Snipes and Harrelson going at it. Just saying, didn't see him on the bench. Yeah, I think he was sick. You know, D Rose is always good for like having a little stomach ache every now and then. Like, he'll even run to the locker room and take a shit during the game. So I'm sure like he probably had some bad pizza and it kind of just threw him off a little bit. But let's get to the rest of these guys. So RJ Barrett tonight, 19 points. He was plus 17, which is good. This is what we want from RJ. We want you to be in the high plus minus. That means that you play defense and offense, no matter who you were on the floor with tonight. And he did so. And only had 3 turnovers with 5 assists. So, you know what I mean? I mean, don't get me wrong. 3 is too many. But we're talking about...
I feel like he had, like, 2 really stupid ones. Like,
he's going
to get it. But I feel like two of the really, like... I feel like he had 1, and then he had, like, 2 really stupid ones in garbage time.
In garbage time, yeah. So, like, he didn't play bad. He was actually pretty decent tonight, besides for the free throw shooting. He was 6-9 from there.
He had one where... I don't know if you remember, it got stripped off his leg.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was already like a 20-something point game. Then he had another one where he went to throw an advanced pass up the court and it got deflected and stuff.
Oh, okay.
It was just silly shit. I mean, I let him live.
Sometimes he's a little sloppy. I feel like if he makes a second thought on a lot of those decisions, he won't have a turnover, but he'll learn it, hopefully, one day. Julius Randle, 26 points, 3 assists, 4 rebounds. He didn't really do much but score today, which was a little bit different, which I didn't expect because, you know, they're not necessarily the biggest team, so I figured he could at least grab some boards, you know?
He wasn't interested in playing defense.
No, defense or anything. Like he said, he only had 4 rebounds, and they were all on defense. Like, he wasn't even trying to grab offensive rebounds.
Hey, listen, man. Let me just say something. I'm not mad, yo.
Nah.
This guy has given the Knicks everything this year, man. He hasn't missed a game. Mm-hmm. Plays almost every damn minute. Like, let him live, yeah.
Yeah, I ain't tripping. I ain't tripping.
It was actually nice to see him under 30 minutes tonight.
Right, and he didn't play the fourth quarter, which is kind of what you want when the team is getting blown the hell out from a Tom Thibodeau coach team. You want to see your stars on the bench during that time. And, you know, hopefully that wasn't Julius saying, hey, I don't want to play. That was the coach saying, hey, you're good, don't play.
No, I think Tom had
had a lot
that, that those guys out there was rolling.
Yeah. And there was no reason to put him back in.
I think he put Quickly back in because he wanted Quickly to get his 40 ball. Because as soon as Quickly got his 40 ball, he took him right back out.
Yeah, Deuce got the foul and he took him right out. So, I mean, that's really what you expect from that. Mr. Robinson, 3 points, 6 rebounds, 1 of 2 from the free throw line. He was 1 for 1 from the field.
Crazy blocks in the third quarter.
Three crazy blocks.
I thought he was not good in the first half. I thought the second half he kind of set the tone. Like with the little defense that they played, like
barely any. Yeah,
I felt like he set the tone for that in the second half. Hartenstein was, I mean, our centers, bro. Like, I love the production we get from our centers, man. Like, Hartenstein was unbelievable tonight.
We had Sims sighting tonight.
Yes, we did.
Sims, he stepped on the floor, man. I know it was the first time since February All-Star Weekend when he ripped the 50. It's like the Knicks said, we're going to rip about 50 minutes from your contract just for that shit. And yeah, you haven't seen him since. But, you know what I mean? It was good to see him. Good to see him. But yeah, man, Hartenstein, great. 3 of 3 from the field. 2 of 3 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 8 points. He's like the biggest garbage man there is, man. Like, he does everything. There's literally everything that he'll sacrifice his body.
But bro, when they started, I don't know. I feel like I want to see it a little bit more. I understand why we don't see it I feel like tonight, nah, I'm getting there. So tonight, like, Quickly obviously started.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like tonight, with Quickly obviously not out there with those bench guys, Hartenstein, the offense kind of running through him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm all for that, bro, because that's what he did. That's what he's done everywhere he's been. Like,
yeah,
what he even talked about it after the game. They interviewed him on the radio. And okay. He talked about how, you know, his role here is a little bit different. How, like, if they need him to do what he did tonight and kind of like run the offense through him and be a playmaker,
yeah,
he's capable of doing that. But he said, you know, here I've been asked to, you know, rebound and block shots. And he said, but, you know, I'm a professional. I'll give them whatever they need. But he said, mm-hmm. this is part of my game.
Yeah.
If they call upon it.
Right.
So, right. So good stuff from him, man. Like I said, yo, I was disappointed early in the year because I'm like, man, I was high on this guy when we got him.
Right.
He played like he didn't play well at all. I think a lot of that again had to do with the Achilles mm-hmm. or whatever he had going on. But different dude now. This the guy I thought we was getting.
Yeah, man, I think that there was a time in the season where everyone was, you know, talking hella shit about Hartenstein. Like, oh, he's trash. He's like the worst this, the worst that. I can't believe we made this move. And I literally had to go on Twitter like, is this shit real? Like, are y'all really like shitting on Hartenstein right now? And people were really, really
tonight?
No, hell no.
Oh,
I'm talking about like a few, like let's say early January. There was a lot of talk, like, oh, Hartenstein's trash. He's this, he's that. I can't stand him. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. And I'm like,
when did Mitch get injured? Because that's when he kind of turned it up. I mean, Mitch got hurt in January, right?
I think he got hurt in January.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't very good before Mitch went out.
He wasn't. And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, first of all, it's his first year on the team. He's getting acclimated to the system. Clearly, his role hasn't been defined yet at that point because he was still trying to figure out what he was supposed to be doing while he was on the floor. And there was a lot of overcompensation. And that's just what, in my eyes, I was like, yo, like, you guys are really overreacting. Like, yeah, he's playing bad, but we're, like, not losing. At that time, we weren't losing. So it was like, yo, just let it rock. Like, you know what I mean? He's figure it out. And he's done that. He's been, like, our most important player off the bench outside of Quickly. So, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, depending on the night, him and Hart trade places with that. But, you know what I mean? Like, that's a great problem to have, man. Like, and I think that bodes well for us going into the playoffs. You got to have a second unit that knows their job. Because there's going to be nights where the offense through the – well, just the – not even the offense. Both offense and defense, there will be a struggle from the first unit.
So can we get into that? The first unit, second unit thing? Because so I keep seeing it, and now I'm, like, trying to ignore it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think – I really am trying to make it to where it's like tonight was like the last time I'm going to address it. So all of the
Quentin Grimes
bench, Quentin Grimes people, right? Like, so tonight I'm seeing bench Grimes and start Quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So every time somebody has like a big game, there's always like some bullshit. After McBride had his big game, it was Quentin Grimes should be out of the rotation.
For
McBride. Then, you know, obviously Quickly had the big game tonight. It's that Quickly should start over Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Hart, obviously here now, making a huge impact. Josh Hart should start over Grimes. Stop. Everybody is exactly where they need to be, folks.
Everybody, right.
Like, there is value. Is it like a rule that says that we can't have a guy like Quickly come off the bench?
Off the bench, right. Like, everybody that comes off the bench has to be a bum.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why you want to start all of your best players. Like, there's nothing wrong with having Quickly come off the bench.
Not at
all. On top of that, like, I don't think that Quentin Grimes has done anything to deserve to be benched.
Nah.
Like, he literally comes out every night and does his job. Take the assignment of guarding the best guy on the other team. Make your open threes. He's shooting 37% from three.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't get a lot of touches.
Mm-hmm.
Last I checked, he had a usage rate under 13. That was 16% among guards and wings.
It's very low, guys. That's like, very low.
So he still manages to average 10 points per game, shoot like 45% from the field, 37 from three. Like, let it be, yo. Let it be. Let it be, yo. It's not broken. I promise you it's not broken. It's perfectly fine, folks.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to go to the bench. In fact, I feel like if you put Quickly in the starting lineup, that hurts the bench a lot.
Yeah, a lot. He's their leader.
Like, Quickly's. You see it. You see it on nights like tonight. The bench was pretty good, but we've seen it in the last few games with Brunson out, and the bench hasn't been good. And a big part of that is because they don't have Quickly to run the offense through.
Yeah. Let's be real. It's hard for starting units to stop Quickly. So let's imagine putting him on the bench. That's how effective he is.
On top of that, like, if you start Quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you start Quickly, and now Quickly is like the third or fourth option in the starting lineup.
Right.
Like, where he's best at, where he excels, is when he's the man out there, right? Where it's basically like him and RJ. And they're basically the two, like, guys who are initiating the offense.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he's best at. So why would you want him to be the third or fourth option in the starting lineup? where he now he's being relegated to a catch and shoot guy. Like, you're basically taking all of his greatest qualities away from him by putting him in the starting lineup. Quentin Grimes is perfectly suited and more than happy to be a catch and shoot guy.
Be a catch and shoot guy. You don't want
He's good at it.
Yeah.
He's good at it, y'all. Like, he excels at it. So you want to put Quickly in a situation where he doesn't excel, right? And then put Grimes in a situation where out of a situation where he excels.
Where he's comfortable.
So you throw him on the bench. Now, without Quickly in that with that bench group, there's less playmaking.
And right? He's the playmaker now, so it changes his game.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, who's gonna be the guy that's driving and spraying it out to him now for open threes with that bench group? Tell me who the guy is.
Right.
Like, everything is exactly where it needs to be. Don't touch it. It's perfect, guys. It's as good as it's going to get. It's not going to get better by here we are in game 77. Let's move some shit around.
Yeah. Let's start with Quickly. Let's move him off the bench, even though our bench functions amazingly while Quickly is there. Let's just move him off the bench and let's put him in the starting lineup. And let's put Grimes there. You know what I mean? Like, now you have a log jam at that position. You don't necessarily have a playmaker. You got secondary playmakers in Grimes and Hart. And even Hartenstein, technically. So it's like, I don't see it. Sometimes people are really, they go crazy. My issue with Grimes up until recently, was the fact that there wasn't shots being taken. And that's not necessarily his fault. Like, he has to be involved in the offense more. That's really all.
I think it's safe to say that, like, he takes every shot available to him.
Right. Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like,
for sure.
When he catches the ball, he don't even have to be open.
Right.
Like, but if he catches the ball and he even got a little bit of space, he lets it rip. My issue with him is I seen some situations where he could have maybe drove the ball and he passed up on driving the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like that's, I remember it was one particular play. I don't remember who the Knicks were playing, but it was basically him and another guy, like one-on-one. And it was a much smaller guy too. It was a small guard. I just can't remember who it was. And I'm like, bro, go at him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of like one of those delayed, like, fast breaks. But nobody was really back. And he caught the ball. He looked up and he just pulled it out. I'm like, bro, force the issue on that guy, bro. Like, you got 3 inches on that guy.
Yeah. I don't know. He's even been dunking recently, like, a lot. Like, and it's kind of like, oh, I didn't know you had that part of your game, Z. You know what I mean? Like, this athleticism. And he kind of, like, floats. You ever notice when he dunks, it's like, it's not like a powerful throwdown. It's like he gets up there and it's like he floats in and it's like an elegant dunk. I was like, how the hell did you do that? But I like his game, man. I really do. Like I said, I just would like for him to shoot the ball more. And coach is finally putting the ball in his hands. But I also think it's a symptom of Brunson not being there. I think that's something that they still have to work out when there's Brunson, RJ, and Julius in there in the starting lineup. Getting Grimes shots consistently while everyone is there. I think that's something that they, as a unit, need to work out a little bit more, because he should be taking more shots within the offense.
100%.
That's just me.
You know, we talked about it in the chat. Like, what we're seeing from him, he has a little bit more to offer than what the Knicks are asking him to give.
Yes.
And I think the Knicks know that too, though. But I think that the Knicks are just kind of like, you know, what does Tom always say? Like, doing what's best for the team. And, you know, maybe Tom feels like what we're getting from him and what his role is what the team needs. Right. But I do feel like there could be a little bit more two-man action, maybe some dribble handoff with Julius that I think that they could run with him. I mean, you've seen it the other game where he was red hot. He really got it going. And they started actually running that dribble handoff action for him and Julius, and he excelled in it. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely got a little bit more to his game. Excellent finishing at the rim. I would like to see them take advantage of it a little bit more, but at the same time, like, that kid's fine, yo. Like, don't change anything.
Right. Yeah, I'm not changing nothing. I'm looking for
– That was my rant, though.
No, you good. You gotta let me know when you bought the rant, bro. I gotta give you a whole. You gotta have the whole screen for
it.
Oh,
my bad.
I'm saying you need the whole screen for the rant. IP Star says, Mitch, can we please get a jab step next year, bro? Just an attempt. Listen, man.
Nah, we're not talking to you, bro. He called us ugly. I don't know if you see him.
No, he said the chat. He said the chat. He was calling.
I was about to say, take his comment down. Yeah, take his comment down. We're gonna rock with him. Yeah.
Nah, that's a little inside joke we have. Like, but he definitely was looking to the chat on that one. That's why I put it up there. But Mitch, I'm taking what I can get because it's like every month he shows us one thing that he hasn't done his entire career. So at this rate, by the time we get to the playoffs, like I think Mitchell Robinson will be in a lot better position. That's me personally.
Here we go. Yeah.
Welcome to the chat. Welcome to the chat, CIA.
Here we go. Yeah.
Oh man, he said Julius be wearing Under Armour thongs, old Teflon bagel head. Oh my god, yo, I swear, bro. CIA is probably one of the funniest people that's ever been in this chat, ever. Ever, bro. I'm telling
Jose you. Garcia, 100%, bro. 100%. Please, bro. That's it, yo.
Give me a hook.
Get a hook shot, yo. Like all of the I guess back in the day, especially like all of the elite like rim protectors who maybe weren't like the greatest scoring in the block, like the Mutombos of the world.
They had hook shots.
Mark Eaton, all of these guys, they had at the very least a hook shot in their bag. Please, Mitch, just a hook shot, bro. Like I will, please, bro.
Yo, CIA, yo. Yo, I'm glad I'm not writing that shit. Because I could put this shit up there and they can't say shit to me because I didn't write it. But, bro, you got to chill, bro. You are, yo. What man said a 7-4.
Yo, that's what I was, exactly. Yo, Jose, I swear sometimes Jose be in my brain. Somebody was saying like, oh, because, you know, Mitch came out with the whole, you know, he's out here just running cardio or whatever, right? Mm. And I'm like, but I feel like Mitch, even though he doesn't get plays called for him, like, why would I call a play for you, right? Like, outside of, like, me trying to get you a lob on pick and roll or some sort of, like, premeditated play where I'm trying to get you a lob. Like, why would I throw it down to you when
you
catch the ball on you catch the ball on offensive rebounds? You're 5 feet away, and all I see you do is try to dribble the ball, and it gets stripped, which is driving me crazy.
Right.
And, like, I don't ever see you just flip up a hook shot, like, or anything off the offensive rebounds, which leads me to believe that you don't have it in your game.
You don't have it. There's no
– if I've never seen it, I don't believe it exists.
It ain't there. It ain't there. I'm going to tell you why it's not there. Do you know how many situations Mitch has been in where he could have used a hook shot? Like,
game to game.
Every single time he grabs an offensive rebound, he could use a hook shot. Every single time he gets in the paint and they throw him the ball while he's under the basket, he can use a hook shot. He just won't.
All he ever tries to do is do a little power dribble and, like, muscle up to the basket and dunk it. It's just like, bro, like, can we get some sort of variety here?
Something.
Like,
something else.
So, before you even talk about getting the ball, before people even talk about, like, the workout videos where he's shooting threes. Let me see you shoot a hook shot over your right shoulder and shoot a hook shot over your left shoulder. Like, let's start there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just simple basketball moves. Like, I want to see you make a simple basketball 7-foot move. Like, that's what other 7-footers do. They put you on their shoulder, and that's it. Like, it shouldn't be that hard. And I'm not here to bash Mitch.
Nah, I think Mitch is that, I think Mitch is terrific, but like
before we see the jab step back, we got to see some hook shots. That's all.
Yeah, like something, bro. Show me something. Like it's cool when you see the guy like, you know, fake the dribble handoff and like drive and dunk. That's cool.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. But like, bro, can we see like just more? I don't know. I just want to see more. That's all.
Josh Hart with a hella efficient game, 4-4 from the field. Took four shots, made all four 100%.
Josh Hart just doing Josh Hart things.
Doing Josh Hart things. Five rebounds, two assists, two steals, two blocks. Like, what? Like, come on, man. Two assists, two steals, two blocks, five rebounds. 9 points. Like, he fills the stat sheet. You know what I mean? Like, he's a stat patter. That's what he does. He would have gotten a little bit more rebounds if Hart wasn't in his way a few times tonight. Well, the other Hart, Hartenstein. But Josh Hart, man, he's just the intangible king.
Yep. Like,
there's no other word for him or anything. The intangible king is what I will call Josh Hart. Because more often than not, he's going to make the right play for his teammates. He's going to make a play that's going to make his teammates get more involved. And that's the kind of guy that you want in your squad. You don't want a guy who's going to take a stupid-ass shot when he knows that his teammate is wide open right there. There was a pass that RJ finally made tonight out of a Euro to Josh Hart under the basket that was like, if you could just be this person more often, a lot of people would talk less shit. Because it's like, dude, you get to the basket. We know you can get to the basket. What else are you going to do? Show me something else. And it was kind of like one of those slow Euros. You know RJ's, everything is slow with RJ. But he did a Euro step. So it's like an exaggerated slow-ass Euro step when RJ does it. But he did it, and it's like he wrapped around his back, and then Hart was right there to put the ball in. And that was good. You know, that's just kind of what you want. But Josh just knows how to be there in the right spot so that he's not messing up the play that you're trying to make, but he's also keeping himself available for the play. And that's what you want, man. That's kind of what you want. You want this guy to be everywhere. Like Jose Garcia saying, Hart was everywhere defensively.
Yeah, I thought Barrett was better after the first quarter. I think after the first quarter, what did we talk about last show? When he's the guy, right? You're the lead guy now.
You got to step it up. Right,
with Jalen out. And I felt like in those minutes tonight where he was out there with the bench,
yeah,
I thought he was really, really good. So shout out to him, man.
Yeah. Shout out to – you talking about RJ, right?
RJ, yes.
Yeah. So RJ was 6-12 from the field, and that's kind of what you want from RJ. Like, give me 50%. Please, just give me 50%, and we'll be good with that.
I like to see you make your free throws.
Yeah, 6-9. That's the thing. It's either you're going to get him a good game and he's going to miss a couple free throws, or he's going to make all his free throws and have a shitty game. So it's like, until you can put a whole game together, we're going to have this conversation. CIA says, no idea why he ain't spend a summer with Hakeem. Get that shimmy shake down. I think he's talking about Mitchell Robinson.
Absolutely. Mitchell Robinson.
Like somebody. Like it could be Rasheed Wallace. Like, give me somebody. It could be Rasheed. It could be Kwame Brown, bro. Give me somebody who's put the ball on the floor with their back to the basket before.
Kwame Brown. That's hilarious.
Just anybody. Put him in. Put him.
Call Kendrick Perkins, yo. I don't care.
Kendrick. Call all of these guys. Call Wally. Like, I don't care. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, you know who they should really call? You know who they should really call? Call out. And I'm not even being funny when I say this. Call Al Jefferson, yo.
Al Jefferson actually might help him.
Word Al Jefferson wrong,
was a hook shot king. I ain't gonna lie. Al Jefferson get that ball in there, and it's like once he get in the paint, he gonna throw them shoulders around. And he gonna get the ball in the hoop, bro. That's one thing. That was one thing Al Jefferson was good at. And yeah, he played on Minnesota for most of his career, right?
Yeah, he played in Charlotte. He was a monster in Charlotte.
He was a monster in Charlotte. Yeah, that's when he was killing. That's facts.
But yeah, that boy, he had big time pivot game, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. CIA says Josh Hart bring that crackhead energy every night. Dog, that's facts. One of the
125th, he be all over the place, yeah.
125th Street crackhead, too. You know what I'm saying? Wide open in front of everybody, in front of the Apollo. You know what I'm saying? Jose said hard affecting RJ's fast break effectiveness. RJ's starting to see the court. I would love to see more of that. I said when he got here, Hart, that people were saying like, oh, perfect. Get RJ out of there and put Hart there. And I'm like, I'm just hoping RJ learns from Hart. All the intangibles you see Josh Hart make every night and in practice, that has to rub off on RJ. And
that's because the fact of the matter is, if as the third option, right, mm-hmm. as a guy who is the third option, like him making those winning plays, like doing stuff like that, I feel like that's where he could make his impact. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like not just scoring. And I feel like if you're making an impact like that, like points will come. Like Josh Hart gets his points just because the ball finds energy.
Yeah.
So if we could get RJ just, I don't know, understanding that, like, for one, like, we know that RJ, so one thing about RJ we know is, like, one of his goals is he wants to be an all-star, mm-hmm. right? But, like, there's more than one path to becoming an all-star.
Facts.
Than just averaging 25 a night.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish that at some point, I hope that at some point, like, he understands that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And maybe he's never an all-star. But, yeah. like, who cares, bro? Like, if you're on a winning team and you guys are contenders every year, like, who gives a shit?
Yeah. Do the right thing, regardless. Like, if you're going to be – if you want to stay on this team – I'm going to be honest. If RJ wants to stay on this team, he better do what's right as often as he can. Because they will give him a lot of hair. Jose says if Mitch ever shimmy, he probably get hurt. Please, man. Please don't wish that on my mans. But that was a little funny, though.
Yeah, there are 6 games left in the regular season, bro.
If Mitch gets hurt.
Like, don't even put that in the atmosphere.
Please, man.
Because if Mitch gets hurt, we could forget about anything that we think that we're trying to do.
All of it.
In the playoffs.
Because if you expect Julius Randle to stop any... Because at that point, who's going to be a starter? If Mitch is out, you probably
gonna Hartenstein's your starter. Well, yeah, maybe Sims is your starter, yeah, and then Sims again, and then Hartenstein.
Yeah,
and I mean, I like Jericho Sims, but not that much.
Yeah, not that much. I don't want him to be my starter. Like, I'm sorry, I like Jericho for what he can be, not like I need you starting on my playoff team type of shit.
Yeah, because we seen it, bro. Like, as we seen him give like the Knicks really, really good minutes. But at the same time, like, he still got a lot to learn, bro.
A whole lot to learn. he said, "I ain't not no damn cokehead, Brown." Yo, I ain't gonna lie. Kwame Brown has been all over the internet for all of the wrong reasons recently. I think Gilbert Arenas just. Face purple crying.
Next game is Wednesday against Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday against Miami, and then Friday against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's a playoff game, by the way. I don't care what nobody says.
It's 2 games of playoff games. Without a
doubt.
I don't
think Cleveland is a playoff game because we're not catching them. So it's whatever. Like, you want to beat them to, I guess, send a message. But at the same time, like, we beat them twice. Like, you want to win all your games, if I'm being honest. If you're the Knicks right now, you want to win all your games. But to me, like, the Miami game is, like, the one, like, because we could put these guys – we could put them away. Because if we win that game, we win the season series, we hold the tiebreaker.
They go to the play-in.
Like, yeah, if we lose that game, then they hold the tiebreaker because they're going to win their division.
Right, yeah, facts. And that's my thing. I think that – we have to beat Miami. Like, that's without a doubt. if we beat Miami, I think we can breathe a little bit because we know that our spot isn't going anywhere. Tonight actually makes us 2.5 games up on Miami and Brooklyn, but it doesn't mean anything if they take the tiebreaker. So I think we really need to work on putting these guys away as fast as possible on Wednesday. Friday... I do think that it's some sort of a playoff atmosphere because at least, like, you know, it wasn't like the last time we played the Hawks when we went to the playoffs that year. The last time we played the Hawks, it was kind of like, yeah, you kind of knew that these guys are going to the playoffs, but you didn't know that there was going to be the matchup. And I think Trey wasn't even there for that last game. So when you talk about this season, I mean, it's pretty much a done deal that it's almost a done deal, especially if we beat the Miami Heat the game before. We're definitely playing the Cleveland Cavaliers in the playoffs. Is that a game where you'll see some guys rest? Who knows? But I feel like if all guys are there, if all hands are on deck on Friday, that's going to be a bloodbath. And I think it's because they want each team is going to want to put send a message as like,
oh, absolutely,
this is exactly what you're going to be dealing with for seven games, or well, potentially. So I really think that these next two games are probably the most two important games going towards the end of the season, in my opinion.
Okay, so we're almost an hour in. Mm-hmm. You want to get into the playoffs a little bit and what you think?
All right,
especially with these next two games coming up. Mm-hmm. Might as well talk about it because, I mean, we're playing the team that we're trying to put away. Mm-hmm. And solidify that fifth spot, and we're playing a team that, you know, we're probably going to be matched up with if we put away Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, bro. I feel like, so I guess my question to you is like, and I want to know what you think. So let's say we hold on to the fifth seed and we end up playing the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round. Do you think that not getting out of that series and getting into the second round, do you view that as a failure? Like, would you view the season as a failure
if we don't get
out of that first round?
We lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes.
I'll say this. This is the only time I think Stephen A. ever had a point. And it's that if we lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers when they have Donovan Mitchell on that floor, when we could have made a trade for him, that doesn't look good for us. So I think so that there's not an uproar with Donovan Mitchell killing us in the process, I think we have to win that series. I think we got to. Like, I think we should really pull out all the stops. Tibbs has to do as much as he can as the coach. These guys have to do their job as the players. But do I think it's a failure if we don't beat Cleveland? I can't necessarily call it a failure because I don't see this team as having championship aspirations. And especially because of who this team has been for the last 10 games. I can't say that it would be a failure. It would be a failure if we go into the end of the season, or going towards the end of the season, and we're closer in a tie with Cleveland, or we ended up taking the fourth spot from Cleveland, then I think that changes the thing of like, yo, is it a failure? But at the end of the day, we're playing a team that technically in the stands is better than us. So I can't necessarily call it a failure.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I can't call it a failure just for the simple fact that they've been better than us all year.
Yeah, all year. They have.
Like, would it be a shock if they beat us in a seven-game series?
Absolutely.
Like, I think the Knicks absolutely have a chance to win that series.
Yes.
Right? I think that the Knicks, what I don't want to see is, like, I don't want the Knicks to, like, go out in, like, a gentleman sweep again.
Yes.
I think it's important that the Knicks compete in that series and really have a chance to actually win that series. Mm-hmm. That being said, like I said, this team's been better than us all year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything, all of the advanced stats point to the fact that they're better than us, right? Like, I don't know what they are. I think they're like top three in net rating. You know what I mean? They're the number one defensive team in the NBA. Like, what we're walking into.
Number one defensive team in the NBA.
Like, what we're walking into in that series, it's a load to handle.
Yeah.
And I need Knicks fans to be aware of that. Like, I think Dobbs said it best. Like, because, you know, some people are, like, really confident that we're going to beat them. Like, almost as if it's a foregone conclusion. And it's just like Dobbs said, I don't know. That's how I feel. Like, I have no idea if we could beat them. Yeah. I know that we can beat them. I have no idea if we will beat them. Because they're really fucking good, guys.
They are.
They're really good.
I mean, not only
really good, bro.
Not only do you have Donovan Mitchell, obviously, but you already had Evan Mobley. You already had Jared Allen. You already had Darius Garland. You add in Caris LeVert. Isaac Okoro is a great wing defender. Ricky Rubio's still there. I still remember the game he lit us up from the 3-point line.
Is he in the rotation?
Yes. I think he's.
He is. Okay.
I think he is. Shady Osman, good serviceable guy. They got Danny Green for the veteran leadership. Robin Lopez, come on, man. Like, we've had him here. You know what he does. He doesn't make it easy on anybody. I mean, he's not Brooke, but don't get me wrong. He's a hell of a defender.
He's big.
Huge. 7-footer. He's got him still 7-footers. So, like,
he's a mountain, bro.
Right. Yeah. And he knows how to use his body. That's one thing. A lot of these, like Mitch does not know how to use his body like Robin Lopez. He's a 7-footer who does not use his body like a 7-footer.
Well, I don't think that he doesn't use his body. Like, Mitch is probably one of the best guys in the league as far as, like, boxing out and shit like that. Like, Mitch is really good around the rim, bro.
No, I'm just talking about, like, how he uses his body. Like, he doesn't necessarily use his body. Like he plays more like a big-ass wing is what I'm saying. Like, Mitch plays like a huge wing. He doesn't necessarily play like a center. Like, you know, throw me the ball in the paint. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, yeah. In that case, yeah, absolutely.
He reminds me more of a...
Speaking of a guy with a hook shot.
Right. Exactly. Then we got... Then you got Dean Wade.
Like, who seems to... For whatever reason, he likes to play against the Knicks.
Loves playing against us. Raul Neto, another guy that loves playing against the Knicks. So, it's not a team that I'm going to sit here and say will beat us, but they can. And if they do, don't be surprised. Like, we're talking about a really good team. The only thing that this team doesn't have in the playoffs is experience outside of Donovan Mitchell. And that's the only thing we got going for us.
Yeah, I mean, do we really even have that? I mean,
we don't even have that.
I guess you could say, like, this group, right? Like, with Randall, Barrett, Quickly, like, they were all together, right?
Yeah.
During that, so they experienced, like, losing to the Hawks, which I think matters.
Yeah.
Right? Because you know that.
Been, the playoff experience now.
They've been itching to get back. Yeah. They've been itching to get back to this point.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have home court advantage. I don't think we're catching them. So we're not going to, I think we're like 4.5 back right now.
Welcome. Yo,
Ricky.
So you know what? This is what we're going to do today. So
what's up?
Since we have someone who was in the building tonight, as we took care of the Houston Rockets, why don't you go ahead and tell us about it?
Yo, my man IQ went off. Yo, dude, I was already saying, like, he had like 27 in the first half. I was just like, yo.
Hold on, Ricky. Just to be clear, everybody, like, Ricky was in the building tonight. I don't know if they heard that. Like, Ricky was in the building, had box seats.
Box seats.
Listen, my man was baller.
He's in the box.
Listen, it was
all right, so, go ahead, Ricky.
He's in the box.
I'm sitting at work, you know, minding my business, doing my job.
Back to you, Ricky.
and I get a call. They were like, yo, you want to go to the next game tonight? I was just like, yo, don't play with my emotions. Like, no, I'm serious. So I'm like, all right, cool. Where are the seats at? He was just like, oh, it's box seats. So I'm like, I'm in there, man. I called my wife immediately. I'm like, hey, babe, can I go to the game, please? And I wasn't even going to try to play hard and act like I got it like that. So I was like, yo, let me not mess this up. So I asked her. She was like, of course. So, it was raining. I was speeding in the rain to get home, change, jump. Yo, it was dope. It was so dope.
That's what's up. He hit the chat like, yo, I'm going to the game.
How was what was that?
How was what?
Now I said, how was the atmosphere in the garden?
Oh man, we were doing the wave, we were dancing, we were singing. Yo, it was mad dope.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. The garden is always lit, yo.
Jose says, no shame in asking for permission. Listen, that sounds like a man with some experience.
Yeah, man, that's my partner. So I gotta, you know, I gotta make. And I would hope she would do the same.
Absolutely.
Oh, Xavier Marshall asks, how does the Dallas pick work? So I mean,
first off, what up, cuz?
Basically, it's top 10 protected. So as long as it lands outside of the top 10, it's our pick. If it doesn't land outside of the top 10, then it's their pick and we get we get next year's pick, basically.
So basically, we get any pick that's outside of the top 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we want them to lose, but not too much.
So where are they right now? Are they in like the perfect landing spot?
I think they're somewhere outside of 10, but I think they're definitely lottery right now because they're not in the playoffs right now. So they're definitely lottery.
So that means that they could potentially be lower than 10. Okay.
Or they could be higher than 10. It really depends on the odds, which never seem to work in our favor.
Never, yeah. I guarantee you they're going to end up with the 9th fucking pick. I just know.
Or the 10th pick.
Or the 10th pick.
I mean, in a perfect world as a Knicks fan, you hope the pick falls at 11.
At 11. Because that means it's the only time that we can actually get it closer to 10, and then they like, won't be able to get it.
Yeah, it's basically like the optimal pick that we could get. Mm-hmm. And it still be ours.
I mean, there's a possibility it could be fucking 17th, and it's like whatever, trash. But that would be more like
it won't be 17. It won't be 17. Because 17 is out of it could be if they get back in to the playoffs. But
you know what?
13 is after 14, I believe, is out of the lottery, right? Lottery is top 13.
It's top 13. Top 14. Top 14.
14? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we want them, Xavier says, so we want them below 10.
Yes,
we want them below 10. No. We want them above 10.
We don't get it if it's 10.
We want them below 10.
Oh, you mean below as in like 10, 11, 12, yeah. Below. Okay, you're looking at it that way. Okay, facts. Yes, so we want them below 10. I knew we were going to have to answer this before we got out of here.
Do we have to?
Yeah, somehow. I don't know. I'm terrible and I don't ride these kind of waves because it's like it's not gonna happen. We've been here before. Like I don't Luka's not coming here, guys. There's no freaking way. What's their owner's name again? The shark guy? What's his name?
Mark Cuban.
Cuban is not letting Luka go anyway. They already lost Luka to us. There is no possible way that we're gonna get. Jalen Brunson. My bad. They already lost Jalen Brunson to us. Look ahead.
Let's say that there is a chance that Luka even wants to come in, right? What does that do for the Knicks? How does that change everything that we've built up until this point?
That's a good question.
It changes everything.
Blow up everything.
It changes everything. Exactly. Exactly. Because there's no possible way you think we're going to get Luka and we're not giving up every single valuable piece that we have.
Who's he going to play with?
Maybe Jalen?
That's another thing. Like, you wonder who's going to still be here. I assume if the Knicks wanted to make the deal, they want to keep both Jalen and Julius.
And Julius.
Not sure if that's possible, but I'm sure they would want to, right? Mm-hmm. And to add Luka to that. But at the same time, like, I don't know, bro. Like, I think Luka's – yeah, go ahead, Rick.
I'm saying if they're giving up Luka, they're going to want Brunson back.
Absolutely. Well, at some point, they're going to want at least one or two of our top three guys.
That's I'm absolutely out of the question, all right?
Like, yeah, it's out of the question.
It's not happening.
I don't see how any of this works.
So my thing is this, though. Like, I've been really – y'all guys know I'm, like, super critical of Luka.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, talk about it.
Like, as talented as he is, I don't feel like he's a winner. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like he plays winning basketball.
Damn.
he's
one would not, say that, you're talking about Julius Randle right now.
Yeah, but the thing about Julius is like, I've seen Julius be like part of winning. I've seen Julius sacrifice his game. Facts. You know what I mean? For winning. Like, I know that he's capable of that. Like, the way that Luka plays, like, dominating the ball.
It's him.
And then on top of that, like, not getting it done on the other end, like, at all.
Right.
And me not even being sure if he's capable of being a good defender. Like, I know that when Julius makes a decision, right? Like, we've seen him make the conscious decision to play defense. Like, we know that he's capable of it, right? So we know that you might not like it, but we know that he could flip the switch, turn it off and on. Yeah. I don't know if Luka could play defense in the NBA. I haven't seen it.
Wow.
So it's like, I don't know. And then this guy is supposed to be what some people claim the best player in the NBA. Yeah. And his team right now is out of the playoffs. So you guys tell me, when have you seen a guy who's supposed to be in the NBA where stars win games, right? Mm-hmm. Stars are what matters. This is not baseball. This is not soccer, right? This is the NBA. This is not football, right? This is the NBA where if you have a star, you win. That's just what it is. A star, especially a star who's considered to be one of the top three guys in the sport. Mm-hmm. So the fact that his team is on the outside of the playoffs looking in, like, I don't know what to make of him. I really don't. I just don't think he's a winner. I'm not saying that he can't be a winner. I think he could turn it around. But right now, as we speak, unless this guy takes a serious look in the mirror and changes some things, I don't find him to be a winner at all. And on top of that, like, we talk about Julius. This guy is way worse than Julius.
Yeah, he was always in the ref phase. Always in the ref.
I mean, he just got his he just got his 17th tech.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Crazy. And it got rescinded. But he would have missed tonight's game, y'all. Like, his team is on the outside of the playoffs looking in. And this guy is getting technical fouls.
Yeah.
And possibly missing a game. Luckily for the Mavs, I don't know why, because I seen the tech. He deserved the tech 100%. Tech got rescinded, and he was able to play tonight, and they got a win. But he could have missed tonight's game.
Yeah.
It don't get no worse than that, yo. So if Knicks fans hate Julius, right, and the way that he behaves on the court, get a fucking load of this guy.
Yeah. See, imagine the two of them playing together.
It'd be ridiculous. First of all, and this is I'm gonna show you guys what I'm looking at right now. This is the standings in the Western Conference. If Julius Randle was on our team, say we're Dallas Mavericks fans,
mm-hmm.
and Julius Randle had the game that he had the other night where he starts yelling at his own teammate, that is cause for an uproar at this position that the Dallas Mavericks are in right now. When you're looking at the fact that the 11th seed, the 10th seed, the 9th seed, and the 8th seed all have 37 wins. Every single game matters at this point, though. Every single game
matters. And he puts himself in jeopardy of missing a game.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if he missed tonight's game and they lost? Oh my God.
And that would probably single-handedly be the loss that like put the nail in the coffin for them.
And you know what pisses me off? Nobody would have talked about it.
Yeah.
Not the way it should be talked about.
Not if it was like the Knicks and they did that. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that's the problem that I have with media is because it's never equal. It's always
That's why I don't care. I'm not media, bro. Like I don't cover the Mavs. I don't have any affiliations. I can say whatever the hell I want. So
no.
I'm not afraid to call this guy on the carpet. Like, his behavior is trash.
Yeah.
They're straight outside trash. Of play-in right now, bro. That's embarrassing.
You know how hard it is? Like, a lot of people say, like, the Knicks just missed the playoffs last year. No, they didn't. 10 teams get in, right? Like, the top 10 get a chance to get in, and the Knicks were outside of the top 10.
Yeah.
They didn't come close. If you can't be a top 10 team, right? It's only 15 teams. Yeah, you're a bottom 5 team. You didn't come close to making the playoffs. The Knicks didn't come close to making the playoffs. If the Mavs missed the play-in, they didn't come close to making the playoffs. They flat out didn't make it with a guy who's supposed to be a top 3 guy in this league. Some people say the best.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I agree with everything you're saying. 100%. Like you didn't tell any lies. My thing is, in defense of Luka, is he carries his team, and there's only so much of that you can do. The only player in the NBA that I've ever seen do that was LeBron James. And they compare him to LeBron James, but he's not LeBron James because, like you said, he's not winning. Right now, he's sitting outside of the playoffs, and he's not even...
Not even close James to LeBron James.
Yeah. Well, they, as far as numbers-wise, offensively...
I don't care about none of that.
And the numbers are very close, but I'm just saying, as far as this being your team, you know this. This is your team, and you're not even changing your attitude this late in the season just to show that, okay, this is how we're going to do things. It's a problem.
How are you... Because Ricky...
And you're doing things in detriment to your team.
Exactly. And Ricky, LeBron was elite defensively in his prime. Elite. He wasn't good. He wasn't okay. Like, he was elite defensively in his prime.
My this guy... backboards, all of that.
Yeah, so... Yeah, bro, they ain't the same.
Not the same.
That's why I said offensively their numbers are the same, but defensively, it's night and day.
It's a different animal. It's a completely different. And then people are seeing... the picture with Luka when he had the Carmelo Anthony jersey shirt on. And that's it. That's all they needed to see. It was like, oh, he really likes New York. This can happen.
They know, man, New Yorkers eat that stuff up.
That's they funny. Eat it up, man. I enjoy talking about it, but let's be real. Luka's not coming.
I'm mad that we spent this much time talking about I'm pissed. About it, but I'm also glad I was able to get that out because I feel some type of way about Luka, bro. I really do.
Yeah, I don't know if I could deal with Luka on my team. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's a star.
Yeah.
And I would love to play with him.
He is unbelievable, bro.
Unbelievable offensively. But
he's all world, bro.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Seriously. And it'll just be frustrating to watch knowing how talented he is if we don't win. That'll be my thing.
Could you imagine if this dude was here putting up the numbers that he was putting up here in New York? And this team was out of the playoffs?
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Oh my God, yo.
First of all the James Dolan talk will be back.
They will call him out.
We be talking about James Dolan.
Oh, here in New York, he would definitely get called out.
And that
you can't. It's nowhere to hide here, bro.
Well, see, and that's the thing. In a way, Dallas isn't. It depends on where you are. So, like when Kyrie went to Dallas, I was like, I don't know, that shit ain't, that he was doing in New York ain't gonna fly in Dallas. And everybody like, he'll be fine. That's Kyrie.
Yeah, because the shit flies with Luka. Why wouldn't it fly with Kyrie? Kyrie could do. Luka literally does whatever he wants to do in Dallas. Mm-hmm.
But you start to see little things happen,
bro.
Like, go ahead.
Yeah, Jonathan Mackey had a guy on his show that covers Dallas last year. I sent you the link. I don't know if you ever watched it. It was last year.
I already listened to it.
Luka does whatever he wants, bro.
Whatever he wants. But that's the thing, though. I don't know if it's chemistry or something with him and Kyrie right now, but if they don't make the playoffs, bro, that's not gonna look good. It's not gonna look good at all, especially the way they were in the playoffs last year with Jalen Brunson balling.
Yeah,
it's not gonna look good.
You still gotta
talk to him.
I'm glad we got that guy.
Yo, Jalen Brunson went into. This is crazy.
He went crazy.
The story goes that Jalen Brunson, I would say somewhere midway through the season, went into Mark Cuban's office to talk about an extension. And from what I understand, Jalen Brunson was asking for something somewhere in the range of like 14 to 16 million a year.
Per, yep.
And I don't think they laughed him out the room, but obviously they didn't pay him. They refused to pay him. You had that guy in your building. In your building, bro. And you let him walk for nothing.
Yeah.
Jalen said.
And he was
like, excuse me?
At that price? At that price, you let that guy walk, bro. You couldn't pay him that. And then so he's like, yo, I'm gonna go to New York, I'm gonna go get a bag, I'm gonna play like an all-star, even though he wasn't, should have been. We're not going to talk about that, though. Mm-hmm. What under the bridge. But, like, hey, man, like, you had that guy in your building, though, and you basically packed him up and shipped him to New York.
Yo, and the thing I loved about it the most.
How's that working out?
The thing that I loved about it the most is that, obviously, like you said, he went to them and he tried to ask for an extension. Clearly, he could have. You only can do that up until February. So they denied him in February for that extension. I don't know if it was in February or whenever it was denied. But like I said, the deadline for extensions is in February. March, April, playoff start. That whole time, Jalen Brunson was like, I'm going to make sure I remember that. Y'all going to remember that decision.
Yeah. We're going to finish the season. Yeah.
And I'm not going to even talk to you. I'm not going to have a conversation with you.
I'm out.
I know where I'm going. Already. He stayed quiet. Playoff came around. Bust ass. Like,
tampering be damned.
He was like, fuck the tampering. Whoever got to pay it, I'll pay it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Just get. I'm good. I already know where I'm going. Bro, he gave them that opportunity. They said no. My man went in the playoffs and said, I'm going to show y'all what I'm going to be doing somewhere else this year. Next year, I mean. And that's exactly what he did. He's been doing playoff Jalen Brunson shit all year long this year. That's literally what he's been doing. And then you just happen to look in the Western Conference to see what the Dallas Mavericks are doing. And they're in 11th place?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, bro. And there was a lot of shit that came out behind closed doors about why he wanted to leave.
Like what?
Luka being a ball hog.
I mean,
tired of living in Luka's shadow. Shit like that. You know what I mean? But Jalen Brunson said, all right, cool. Y'all got what y'all got your team. This is who y'all want. Y'all got Dinwiddie as the starting point guard. Cool. Let's keep it like that. I'm cool. And he just comes here and he just quietly just goes off. You know what I'm saying? So in that sense, I just feel like the Mavericks are getting all of their karma because you don't move like that as a franchise. You have somebody loyal to you like that. You like even Obi Toppin, bro. Obi Toppin barely plays.
Mm-hmm.
But what did the Knicks as a franchise do? They went out and they extended him. So it's like, well, they're trying to extend. They don't want to let him go, basically, right. Because they could use him as a trade piece, so regardless.
I think that they will pay him just because, what did I say, bro? Pay everybody.
Pay everybody.
Pay them all, bro. Yeah, because the pathway to get better is via trade, bro. And you need contracts to make trades work.
That's it.
Pay the guy. Don't let him walk for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pay him or move him. You know what I mean? One or the other.
Because now
don't let him walk for nothing.
Don't let him walk away for nothing. And then he knows your system. And then now you got to bring in someone who doesn't know the system and train them to be whatever role Obi Toppin was in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that's very, very.
It's not smart.
It's not smart. It's not smart.
Not strategic.
Shout out to my man's. Mike, yeah, you're about an hour and 18 minutes late, my guy. You know what I'm saying? We really about to get out of here. You feel me? But I appreciate you. While you're here, by the way, anyone who is here, do me a favor. Drop us a like real quick. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, and hit the bell so you're notified when we go live. That's pretty much all I got to say to you. So tonight we finished off the Rockets, 137-115. We need to go and take care of business on Wednesday. It has to happen. Like, if the type of season or playoffs that we can have is determined on this game in a way. So 7:30 on Wednesday,
big game.
We gotta go in there and protect home court more than anything. But we have to beat Miami. Like, we can't go in there and lose to Miami. I am definitely confident that we can do that. But I do know that Jimmy Butler is a freaking wizard when it comes to making these refs do whatever the hell he wants them to do.
Yo, there's such thing as playoff Jimmy, bro. So yes,
there is.
We gonna have our hands full on Wednesday night, but like, hopefully we get Jalen back for that game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it's gonna be a close game, but you hope that the Knicks go out and handle. Because the thing about Miami is, I mean, didn't they just get their ass handed to them the other day?
Was it Brooklyn?
They lost. Yeah, it was Brooklyn. They were down by like 29 or something like that at one point. Like, so you don't really know what Miami team is going to show up, but I'm pretty sure that they're going to show up for that game Wednesday night. And the Knicks just got to handle their business. That's really what it is all about. Even if they lose that game, like, just keep winning, though. Even if you lose Wednesday night, like, win your games. Miami can't catch you if you win your games. It's really that simple. Mm-hmm. There's no point in watching the scoreboard or anything like that. Go out, handle your business, and you'll be the fifth seed.
But also beating Miami is separating you by two games because, you know, you get the win and they get the loss, so it pushes.
Oh, no, it's important. It's important. But what I'm saying is if we win our games, don't matter what Miami does.
Right. Exactly.
Facts.
But let's win these two games.
Our destiny is in our hand, I guess, is basically what I'm trying to say.
True.
I think all four of these teams on the screen right now we beat this year. So, I mean,
all tough games too. I don't care what nobody said.
Like, well, if the Knicks came in playing their best basketball, they could actually beat all four teams.
And the Knicks are not playing their best basketball right now. They won tonight, but I wasn't overly impressed with the win tonight. Like, I still think that the defense left something to be desired. Yes. They got to start figuring things out on the defensive end. You know Miami is going to – Miami is a top five defensive team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know they're going to come out and play defense on Wednesday. The Knicks got to figure out the defensive end, man.
Yeah.
And we can't let a team like Miami, who is, I think, they're the worst scoring team in the NBA, like, come out and score what they put up on us, 127 in that last game. Like, we got to figure some things out on the defensive
end. We have to beat that team. We got to beat that team. And then we got to go in there on Friday away and beat the Cavaliers.
Tough game.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I think that you got Donovan Mitchell on there. He's if you see that, did you see the Donovan Mitchell poster the other night?
He got a lot of those this year. Which one?
Yeah, I know.
Bro, I don't know what the hell. They need to drug test him before he plays. Cause I don't know what the hell.
I see that all over Twitter. They like, oh, this guy got to get drug tested. I'm like, really,
bro?
He's playing out of his mind, though.
Donovan Mitchell is on some next shit right now. I don't know.
Hey, Mike Biz, I would take 3-1 in these next four games.
Now he's saying 3-1 Cavs.
No, I think he's saying the only team we're gonna lose to in that stretch is the Cavs.
Yeah, but I don't care if we lose to the Cavs because we're not catching them anyway in the standings.
Right.
Like, you want to win, just to send a message to them, of course. But, like, it's not the end of the world if we lose to the Cavs. But
I feel like these games.
I want us to win all of them. I mean, because, like I said, if we keep winning, there's nothing that Miami could do.
Yeah, nothing.
They're still 2.5 back.
I do think no matter what, we could lose these first two games. We have to win versus the Wizards. Like, we can't lose to a team that's not in the playoffs. We got to beat the Pacers. Same thing there. Like, games like tonight, we got to stop losing the games we should win. Like, the Magic game should not have happened, especially in the manner that it happened. So,
You know what, though, bro? It's crazy. Like, the Magic are like, you know who the Magic are a lot like? And why, like, they're a tough matchup for us. They're a lot like Toronto, bro.
Yeah, they're just long.
They just throw 6'9" at you all night. And it's like
defense. They're getting in
and the Knicks.
Things, they're blocking everything.
And the Knicks are not particularly big on the wing,
right?
So it's difficult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We struggle with those kind of teams. We always have.
We do.
Unfortunately, I don't see a way. I don't see us getting rid of Grimes anytime soon. I don't see us getting rid of Julius anytime soon. I don't see us getting rid of Brunson anytime soon. The only person I can see maybe being on the move is RJ. And that means that you would have to replace RJ with a longer wing who can, you know, who has that arm length that can get in the passing lane and stuff. But then that's it. It's one guy. So is it really worth you trading or getting rid of RJ if it's just for one wing?
Who's the wing though?
Right. It depends on the wing. If we're talking about like
that would determine
Jaden McDaniels kind of thing, where he's
no,
like,
of course
like,
not.
You know what I mean? Like, no. But I'm not gonna lie, Jaden McDaniels is probably one of the best defenders in the NBA right now.
Yo, I wonder though, like, I always wonder with guys like that, right? Like, because guys like that get kind of pigeonholed into a role. Mm-hmm. And I always wonder, like, is this guy better than we think? You know what I mean, bro? Like, because I watch him and I'm like, yo, he's got game, bro. Mm-hmm.
Talking about Jaden, right? Like,
yeah, and if you watch him in college, like, he was a scorer in college. Mm-hmm.
But now you're talking about he's a lockdown defender. I'm like, well, shit, what is he?
Like, I mean, he found his niche in the NBA. He knew that he had to play defense to get on the court. Yeah. But it's like, I feel like you bring a guy in like that, and it's not a knock on RJ. I just feel like RJ is not the greatest fit, mm-hmm. right? Like, if you bring in a guy like Jaden McDaniels, can he average 14 a game, be efficient, shoot in the mid to high 30s from three and like be like this jumbo wing defender that we need and be a better fit than RJ?
I don't know.
It's a question worth asking.
Yeah. I mean,
he's super young.
Answer right now is the 14 points a game. But it's possible. It's only 14 points a game.
How much is the average right now? I'm just wondering. Is 14 out of the question? I don't think it is.
No, he probably averages 14 now. Let's see. Jaden, you're talking about Jaden, right?
Jaden from Minnesota. He averages 12 a game right now. Hold on, and get this. Are you ready? He shoots 51% from the field. Mm-hmm. Like, is this the type of guy that we need more than like another guy who dribbles and, you know what I mean? But at the same time, like with Tibbs' offense, Tibbs values driving to the basket.
Right.
And that's what RJ does over and over and over and over again. And there's value in that. That's why I say that everybody on this team matters in some way. Yeah. Like, I really believe that like when you look at all nine guys in the rotation, like all nine guys matter. And like I said on the last show, I don't think we can really afford to lose like one of them. Like, I think if we lose one guy that's in the nine-man rotation right now, when we're healthy, of course, I think that we're a significantly worse team.
Yeah, I think this team has got some work to do this summer, especially if let's be real.
Oh yeah, by the way, 39% from three too.
That's not bad at all.
And he averages one steal and one block. Whoa.
And that's the little bro. That's the little brother.
Whoa.
That's the little brother. I mean,
the one block per game is what jumps out at me. Like, yeah, you don't expect a wing to average one block a game.
How tall is he?
6'9".
That's 6'9".
Oh, that's decent.
It's pretty damn good. That's pretty damn good. Like I was going to say on that subject, I'm going to finish up that subject so we can get up out of here, I think that I wouldn't be surprised, especially if we go into the playoffs and we do pretty good. If we somehow get out of the first round, actually, I don't know. I think there's a few things. I think if we can battle in the first round or get out of the first round, I would see them retooling next year and trying again.
Yeah.
But if we go in there and then we get waxed in the first round by Cleveland, I would expect to see some moves being made. That's just my personal opinion. But just to end that off, just wanted to send a shout out or a moment of silence, of course, for the captain, Willis Reed. We really didn't get to show him any love here. Just an amazing human being. Everybody that talks about him, they just talk about what he meant for them and how he helped them through their career. A bunch of guys' lives that was touched by Willis Reed. Even Sean Marks was talking about him giving him his first opportunity when it came to the Nets. So, you know, I mean, I just think that we lost a very, very important piece to our culture as Knicks fans. One of the best players to ever play in the Knicks jersey. Outside of
no, full stop, bro.
Yeah,
full stop. Not even Knicks jersey. I mean, top 75, bro.
Yeah, top 75. He's a top 75 player. That's, you know, but you know what I mean? I just wanted to send condolences to the family and just some love up for the captain, man, for being who he's been for this franchise continuously, even after he's played. You know what I mean? Even coming, I remember when Mitch was, I think, a rookie or his second year, he came and spoke to Mitch. And that stuck with Mitch as well. But you know what I mean? It's just, of course, everybody talks about the moment and we I think it was the finals when he was he's hurt
game seven,
and he came back on the floor and willed them to a victory.
Made his first two shots and then went and sat down, but it was enough to
will the
Lakers on their heels.
Yep.
This was the first night that we had a home game since his passing.
So they
handing out these buttons that I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's
his name and number. I know.
Nice.
Nice. But yeah, so it was pretty nice. They had a whole. I don't know if they showed it on.
I see the 19. I see it.
Yeah. That's dope. I don't know if they showed the tribute during the game. Did y'all see it?
I didn't. I wasn't watching that early. I missed
I wasn't watching that early either.
First, 10 minutes of the game.
They did a whole slideshow video. It was pretty nice.
That's nice, man. So yeah, man, condolences. You guys got any words for the captain?
Thank you.
Pretty much it, man. That's all you can ask for. It's just, everything that he's done was just, you know what I mean, amazing. So shout out to the captain, man. That number 19 will always hang really, really, really high in those rafters. And glad that he was part of this franchise. So that's all we got. We ran a nice hour and 30 minutes. You know what I'm saying? As Joe would say, that's okay. It's pretty decent. It's a decent size episode.
I felt like it was a brisk hour and 30.
It was quick. It's not like hard to listen to. You know what I'm saying? So
it was. I hope that. I hope we're not hard to listen to.
Nah, I've never heard that. That's one thing.
If we are, I hope that you guys tell us.
It didn't feel
like an hour and a half to me.
It didn't feel like. Well, it's because you only have about half an hour. I think This fits Ricky's alley. This is right up Ricky's alley right here. You know, get a little 30 minutes in and we got a whole show going. Boom. Boom bop. Out of it. So Wednesday. Gotta beat Miami. Friday gotta beat Cleveland. These are the games that define us towards the end of the year. I am proud of how this team has been handling adversity throughout the season.
Yeah.
They don't usually stay down for too long. They usually
No, they do not.
They get beat up a little bit and they get right back up and then they remind everybody who they are. So I hope we're at that point right now where we're trying to remind everybody who we are. I do think a lot of it has to do with the absence of Jalen Brunson for a lot of games, and developing chemistry and rhythm throughout that, but I think we're gonna be fine as long as we just continue to play defense, man. It's the most difficult thing that I didn't think we would be asking a Tom Thibodeau coach team to do, but just play defense, and I think that'll seal the deal for us.
I think that the defense will. Yeah, I hope the defense will sort itself out though by the time the season ends.
Yes,
they're a little out of sorts on the defensive end right now, but they got time to fix it.
Mm-hmm. And I think the issues that they're having are completely fixable. None of these issues are like pressing to the point where it's like, yo, like, I don't know if they're going to be able to figure it out. Like, you know what I mean? Let's These guys are getting, it's just, sometimes it's really just effort. It's just that second effort, putting the hand up, getting there, and actually playing solid perimeter defense. I think that's
And we've seen it, like, in spurts, you know what I mean? Like, lately. Like, we've seen it in, what was that last game we just lost? Like, they had a stretch in that game where they were really good defensively. Mm-hmm. And then they got back into the game because of that.
Right. And Orlando, yep. Mm-hmm.
Orlando, yeah. Yep. And then, you know, it just, they just couldn't maintain it. So it's in there. I mean, we've seen it tonight in spurts again. And honestly, they don't even have to be great. You know what I mean? Like, we see teams that are not, like, they just need to be, they need to do it when it matters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
More than anything. Like, if you go back to that, to that, that team, that We Here team, not the We Here team, but the mixtape team, right? Yeah. Like, that team, defensively, I think they were the best defensive team in the fourth quarter in the NBA. Like, there were games where they would give up 15, 16 points in the fourth quarter and completely shut teams down in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Just be good when you need to be, man.
That's it.
Like, it's hard. Yeah. Playing defense in the NBA is hard. Mm-hmm. Like, so if you want to play, I know a coach wants them to play 48 minutes of defense, right, and be perfect. That's never going to happen. Like, be good most of the time, and you guys score. They score more than enough that the rest will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Coach will get these guys. You know, they have a nice little break before. You know what I mean? Especially if they don't have to deal with the playing. They have a nice little break. They can get some practice time in, some chemistry with these guys.
And some rest.
And some rest. You know what I mean? And these, let these guys get away from the basket, from the court for a little bit before you go into the playoffs. So, shout out to them for doing what they have. 43 wins, man. 43 wins. Something that a lot of Knicks fans thought we could do. But not what anyone would have predicted prior to us getting Jalen Brunson.
Not at all.
So
yeah, I had this team winning like between 43 and 45. So they're right in that range. I definitely, if I was a better, I would have took that 39.5 that Vegas put out, because that was absurd.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, my thing was, I knew we were going to be above 500 team. So 43 wins is an above 500 team. Like, it's literally right above the mark of being a 500 team.
Yeah, we locked that in after the, our last win.
Right. So I kind of expected them to be at least a 42, 43 win team. So, but like, it, sometimes when you say the number, it doesn't, the feeling of it is a little bit different. Like, I kind of feel like this team is way better than the We Here team, but that team was a fourth seed. So it's kind of like, you know what I mean?
That was a weird year though.
Yeah, we know how that goes. Julius was shooting lights out, but anyway, we're not going to go into
RJ that. Too.
RJ too. RJ, what, 40% that year?
40%. Yeah, he was like Ray Allen out there.
From three? RJ, 40% from three? Come on now. So, like, you know, I mean, we fell down to earth hard that playoff series. So, you know what I'm saying? I think we have a more solid team. A bunch of guys. You had a rookie Quickly that year. You had a rookie Obi. You had RJ in his second year that year. I think the experience these guys have right now, you know, mixed with the excitement of getting back to the playoffs, I think they'll be fine. And hopefully Tibbs has these guys ready. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I got. Shout out to Emmanuel Quickly one more time for giving us his first 40-point game.
Yeah, man. It was really dope to watch. I just want to shout out Shannon, Greg, mm-hmm. and Gareth, happy birthday. Those are the people I went out with tonight. Thank you for inviting me. It was a really nice time. So,
Listen, man. Thank you guys for inviting the cuz out for a wonderful game in the box. I can't wait till we are all invited.
Yo.
You know what I'm saying? For your next birthday.
Man, when we get this money right, man, we're going to have box. We're going to be doing the show from the box.
We're going to be doing the show from first of all, that would be crazy. The first show, live show from the box. Now, first of all, we probably get like all kinds of copyright infringement shit going on. But we'll try. We'll see if we can get something out there for you.
Send them a little video. Send them a little,
copyright. We don't show the NBA material. Like,
yeah, exactly.
There you go. There you go. We just tell them, like, oh, Brunson just dropped another three.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, do a little play by play.
But yeah, man, thank you guys for coming out. If you're here in the chat still, please do me a favor. Xavier Marshall said,
yeah, like, you're invited.
You're invited too, bro. And Mike said, Knicks need to trade for Naz Reid. He'd be a nice bench piece. Nice bench piece. But if you're here and you're still in the chat, hit us with a like, please. Leave a comment, subscribe. Ring that bell so you know
share.
About people live. Share it with your... Go ahead, tell them, Joe.
Share it with your fifth cousin, you know?
You found a new person to share with every episode.
Yeah, man. Somebody you can share with.
Your fifth cousin?
Yeah, I was donating.
Share with your life coach.
There you go.
What'd you say, Rick?
One thing I got going for me. This show that I listen to. I was donating blood on Thursday, and I shared it with this dude who was giving blood. I wear a Knicks hat every single day. It promotes conversation everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. So literally, we just finished giving blood. We like drinking juice and eating cookies. He started starting up talking about it. I told him about the podcast.
See, that's how it's done. Right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right there. Always. Exactly. Share with your bitter baby moms. Exactly, Mike. Exactly.
And if you are listening, if you're listening in podcast form, do me a favor, just hit us with a 5-star, leave us a review, let us know what you think about us. And that's pretty much it, man. That's all I got. I'll see you guys on Wednesday. And until next time, man, peace. Y'all have a great one.